We'll pray a minute for the Spirit's help. Dear gracious and wonderful Lord in heaven, we ask that you be with me as I prepared this, that it may be glorious and honorable to you, and that it might be in truth inspired. In thy name we pray. Amen. John 16, verse 28. I came from the Father, and now have come onto the world. And now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. You may be seated. I have been tasked with this passage. I've done some weddings and a funeral, but that allows me a little freedom to be a little more personal. But I've never done a particular passage to share from. So bear with me. It should be noted, for those that aren't know, but I'm not an ordained pastor. However, since this isn't a Lord's Day, nor am I officiating over a sacrament, I am able to teach in this forum. I joked at the council meeting the other night that Frisella's found a loophole. I believe this passage could be divided into four parts. I come from the Father. I've come into the world. I am now leaving the world, and I'm going to the Father. So let's look at that first part. I came from the Father. You notice that Jesus says, I came, not I was sent or I was created. This indicates two things right off the bat. It was his choice, and it was under his power. If my boss sends me to a job, I'm obligated to go. I'm expected to go. You, on the other hand, came to church tonight. You made a choice. Then you proceeded to carry it out by your power and your arrangement. This also shows pre-existence. You have to exist in order to make a choice. I was born. That wasn't a choice. That doesn't mean I'm not happy it happened. But my birth, your birth, was a creation. It didn't come from somewhere else. You started living at conception, then you were born. And you didn't exist before being conceived. So Jesus' pre-existence reminds me of Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." When God says, "Let us make man in our image," what is this that he speaks of? Many commentators, to whom I agree, say that "our" refers to the Trinity. We're not told their names here in Genesis, but now we know them as the Bible has introduced them to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This certainly coincides with the text that we're looking at tonight, where it says, "I came from the Father," doesn't it? For Jesus to come from the Father means that he was and is with the Father. He came from heaven. This is his place of origin, you might say. Part two of tonight's text, "and have come into the world," similar to the last part that we just studied, we see the word "come" again. Again, indicating some of the facts that it was his choice and under his power to come. But this part includes some very important additions as well. First, there's his incarnation, to be made into man's form. It is spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel." Being born from a woman joined him into humanity. He brought his spiritual presence and wrapped it into a human body to inhabit the earthly world. We know this had to be done in order to save us from our sins. He had to be man. And this is repeated in the first chapter of Matthew, Matthew 1, 20 through 23. This is talking about Joseph trying to decide what to do about Mary, right? She was with child and not his. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We all know that's no silver spoon reception. It was a lowly birth, not what one would expect from somebody coming from God the Father, is it? His coming also fulfilled the scriptures, not just Isaiah 7:14 passage, but many passages speaking of the hope of our Savior, the future son of hope, the Messiah. The third part of tonight's text, and now I am leaving the world, again showing his choice and his power. He has fulfilled his missions, his mission of dying for our sins. Being a sinless man, he was the only candidate able to fulfill this awesome task. His mission to teach. He taught us. He taught us lessons that will still guide his people to this day. Sermons and parables show us the way of life, and once again fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures in his executions of his tasks here on earth. His appointing of the men that became apostles to carry on what he started. He set straight the laws that man was not doing right. And finally, he showed his power by healing many, many people. Now with his work complete, he leaves the world. He's lifted up. There are no angels lifting him up. There was no chariot of fire carrying him up. It was by his own power. Part four says, and going to the Father. In one sense, you might say he's returning home. Yet as God, the Son always has been omnipresent. He did not leave heaven to begin with in a way that we might think of leaving somewhere. Furthermore, coming in the body of a man is not a vacation for our Savior. It was a type of business trip. If I can use business trip as an analogy for a second, it would be to say this business trip would have been rewarded with a pay raise of a lifetime. But this trip on earth was never intended to be a one-way ticket. He did not plan to stay here, working to bring the world to perfection. No, he completed his mission, and it was time to go to the throne. He remains man, nothing's changed. He is with his body still. But remember, this doesn't hold back his ability to be omnipresent or anything else that makes him God. In heaven, he has taken his place on the throne, and the Holy Spirit is now sent to man. This is one of the gifts of the ascension. Father and Son send the Holy Spirit to come into us, strengthen us, and guide us. So we have the introduction of the Holy Spirit. He now rules in our hearts, giving us the blessing of salvation. All that believe, truly believe in the Son and the gospel shall be saved and granted eternal life. Lastly, now that he has left the earth, he can return once more. If he didn't leave to rule over his kingdom and bring godliness to reality on earth, then there'd be no reason for him to come back. But he will return. It's the final step of glory for us. This means we are one step away from having a perfect world, complete at his second coming. Whenever I consider this, I think how wonderful it would be. Glory be to God. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear, wonderful, and gracious Lord in heaven, we are so privileged to gather here tonight, 40 days from your accomplishment over death, and you completing your mission here on earth. We thank you, Lord, for coming here and doing this for us, ascending to heaven, and sending the Holy Spirit. Be with us, we pray.